It's really great to be home. And this time around, it's been a different one, as COVID and all of that has impacted, you know, in the way we do deputation. But God has been good. And I want to say thank you to all of you who have prayed for us, have prayed us through, and have embraced us with your love during the difficult time we had of Roger's dad's passing, as we were having to come home in an emergency. And God held our hands through this time, and it's good. Thank you for always being in touch and allowing us to feel part of this huge family. Usually, well, I introduce our girls during this time, but you all know them. So the only thing I'm going to say about them right now is that the one is a little taller than last year. So other than that, they are with us. They're in Sunday school somewhere. But thank you for praying for them as well and praying for us as a family. As you know, we are working and serving in North Central, Mesoamerica region, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Nicaragua is no longer part of our field, which makes us sad because we really built some great relationships with them, but they became part of the Meso Central field, so they're not with us anymore. But this is the field that we are working in. I want to say thank you for being supporters with your prayers and your giving through the WEF, through the World Evangelism Fund. Because of that and because of you, we have been able to stay in the field even during this difficult time where the church have had some hard times. But because of your giving and your prayers, we have been able to stay where God has sent us to. We have friends that are serving through other with other organizations. They actually had to come home last year because of, you know, hardships, financial hardships. But God has been good. He has been faithful. And we are here to share with you what he is doing in our field. We are both have different ministries. Roger is working witness coordinator, and I continue serving with Compassionate Ministries. So I'll let him share his side of the story.
I'm the opening act. We'll get to the main event shortly. We've been working in working witness for about 5 years down there in Guatemala. And last year, let's talk about the first of 2020, whichever year that was. We had 27 teams scheduled. I remember saying, man, it's going to take a miracle for us to get through this year. I didn't want the miracle of that, or I don't know if COVID's a miracle or not, but we only hosted 6 of those teams. And the other 21 teams of those, we've rescheduled to later. It's been quite difficult going through there. But one of the teams had already sent their project money. And they says, will you please go be our hands and feet and install the project for us? They needed Sunday school classrooms for this church. And so we went and installed this galera. That's my Spanish word. It's more like a pole barn where we put the roof up first, and then the church comes back and puts the walls up later. So the church still has investment, but they just have a dry place to worship. So we got to do that, and it was a fun thing to do. We got to get out of the office, and man, getting out of the office going to do some work was fantastic. The next thing that happened was we had a couple hurricanes, 5 days apart. I don't recommend it. The good part was is that we were able to support Compassionate Ministries and be the transportation for them. We've got the vehicles, and it was easy when if she said, let's go. We just loaded up and rolled out. It was fantastic. That white thing in the middle there is the steeple of the Catholic Church in Campur Central. They don't build little Catholic churches anywhere in the world. And that was... this town has no water near it, no rivers near it. There was just so much water in the aquifer that it filled the whole town up. This Nazarene church was spared, But this spot right there, that's the pastor's house. And so there was some, they called me and says, can we please borrow some tools? I says, make me a list. So we lent them 7 sets of tools to go and clean up the city. The city, people, help people in their city recover from the flood. This is not the normal thing that Work and Witness does. We don't loan tools out. We typically have a team come. We take all of our tools. We go work with our tools, bring our tools back, and safely put them away in our spot. The thing that came to my mind is the parable of the talents. Do I hide all of my bright, shiny tools in my shop and not share them? No. That's not what we do. So we drove 5 hours to drop these tools off and let these people use them. They told me they needed them for a month. 3 months later, I got my tools back. Well, that's the thing with typical projects is, you know, surely I'll be done in this much time, and then it stretches. So it was so much fun. We got to be there and see these people so excited about helping others. My normal to-do list is hosting teams. When no teams are coming in, I switch to the to-do lists. They say only have to-do lists have 10 things, so I have 10 to-do lists with 10 things on them. Very simple. So I found this little trailer sitting on campus, and I asked permission to use it. It was basically useless as it was. And so we took it apart and started fixing things. When I was all done with it, the guys said, you should have just built a brand new one. We replaced all of the metal on it. So it's for all of the leaves and all of the stuff that grows. I wanted to get it off campus. But we made it into a dump trailer. It's kind of not your normal dump trailer. It's sort of a get her done dump trailer. But it works. And it's kind of fun to work with. We also took this opportunity to clean up the tools and get ready to go. We reworked our concrete mixer. And so for $200, I have a brand new concrete mixer ready to go and do work as we are ready for teams to come again. So we're just looking for, just trying to be prepared for when the teams come back. The galera that we did in Retaleo gave me the idea, why don't we do a virtual team? Now, I'm telling you guys information you already know because this is your project. I called and asked if it was possible for Bethel to sponsor a team. And you did. Such a blessing. We were able to finally get out of the shop and go work, and it was so much fun. There's so many firsts and news in this project. This is the biggest church we've ever done, 45 feet wide, 14 meters. Normally, we're at 12 meters. I've now learned to be bilingual. I speak meters now. 12 meters wide is all we go. But there's new pieces and tools that I'm building along the way. This little, the gray part right up here in the top, where is it, right there, we've made because we were having trouble. I was worried because whenever we were flipping the trusses up, people were standing underneath it with a stick and pushing it up. Now, that's danger. And what if something breaks? We have had one truss break. Luckily, nobody was standing underneath of it, and it just made me want to find a way. Now, I don't have room to put more tools on the truck. It's already full when we're leaving. The one cool part is the legs of this tripod, when we set the last truss in place, we take the tripod down, we take the legs off, cut it up, and put it up as purlings. And so I only have to carry the head with me to the next project where there will be C-channel. We put it back in there, stand it up, and keep going. So it's a lot of fun. So we did this project. It took us about 3 days longer than we expected. It was such a big church. We did get the lights on inside. This is another little cool part. Some of you know Herbeth, the people that came down to the seminary. The last day of the Chimisu project, we were it was raining. Rain and tin roofs don't go together. You can hardly see it there, but there's a ladder laying up there on top. He didn't tell me how he was doing it, but he just figured out a way to continue working so we could finish the project. Threw a rope over the other side, had a way to have traction on a tin roof, keeping to put it on. So when you have the right people around you, the problems get solved. He's so passionate about the ministry. He had the opportunity, actually, to get a government job, coveted government job. And he says, no, thank you. I want to work with Work and Witness. He is such a blessing to have. We also, so we have done two virtual projects right now. We did your project, Chimisu. And then I asked several churches if they would give me $1,000. So we had several churches give us money to go and put the roof on at Rosa Jamaica. So we've done two virtual projects so far. And, don't worry, there's no OSHA, don't worry. It's been such a blessing to be able to continue working, even though there is no, the teams have not been able to come. We've been approved to have teams come back now, but the COVID cases are spiking terribly. My wife will be telling you more about it, but at some of the hospitals, the nursing staff is just walking out the door because there's not enough medicine, there's not enough stuff to help with. So, looking forward, what am I looking forward to? Well, I couldn't finish this without talking about the trailer, you know, the famed trailer that I talk about every time I come here. The good news is that we do have progress. This is the same pictures I showed you last time, but I didn't show you these pictures. We actually have the wheels and tires showing up. We have the suspension. That was a long story, but we have the suspension down there. And the axles have showed up. I'm finding that it's going to be a bigger challenge than I thought. You know, these projects that stretch out a little bit. The axles showed up. They were too long, and they were straight. You're supposed to have a camber in the axle. And I wanted it to be the right width, so now we just have to chop it in half, make the camber, and weld it back together. No big deal. Speaking of welding, February 26th is when I'm hoping to have the team of welders come down. So if you or your friend wants to come and weld with us, I will introduce you to two or three more new friends down there, and we're going to weld this trailer together, so hopefully in February. So looking forward to seeing you guys. Thank you so much for welcoming us back home, but now it's time to go back home.
I get to share too what God is doing through Compassionate Ministries, and what is being a difficult year with COVID and a lot of other disasters added to this whole thing. I want to say that God has been faithful, and God has given us opportunities to speak and to share the love of Christ to others and to let them know that God loves them in spite of their situation. God loves them in the midst of their mess, in the midst of their needs. God loves them. So we have been working in different areas. Last year, or last December, we were here. I shared with you about the situation with COVID and the hard lockdowns and curfews that we had, which, you know, brought a whole lot of other situations. But also, the migrants and caravans haven't stopped. I know that you have heard a lot of that, you know, happening on this side. But I also wanted to share what is happening on the other side with us. We have been, you know, the ones we have seen people from our own field coming up, trying to find a way to the north in the U.S. to search for a better life. But now we're not only getting having Central Americans, we're also receiving people from Haiti and Cuba coming up our way as well. And so, like I said, God has given us a lot of opportunities to share God's love. And sometimes It is difficult. Sometimes it's messy. But I think that's where God calls us, to walk alongside and be in the presence of others so that we can share God's love. I like the verse of 1 John 3:18. Let us love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So if we want to share God's love, but we don't show it to them, then what good does it do, right? Just words are not enough. We have to show them with our actions. I want to talk to you a little bit, a story about Chicahalac. Chicahalac in San Marcos, Guatemala. It's a community that it's on the border of Guatemala and Mexico. It's one of the poorest communities, and the way of living for them is the crops. A regular job for them, it will pay them about $5 per day. So if you have a family of six, imagine feeding, you know, all these people with $5. So a lot of the men especially, this is a community with a high percentage of migrants to the north in search of work. So we have a church in this community, and we also have one of the newest child development centers. We have 5 child development centers in Guatemala, and this community has one of them. It's one of the newest one with 25 children. But when we also work with the children, we also work with the families. So a lot of these people in this community, they have joined the caravans coming up. And it's a very difficult situation. I know that it is maybe a topic which has controversy. But when you see those people and you talk to them and say, so why are you searching? Why are you heading up north? And they would say, well, I'm looking for work and I'm trying to feed my family. But they have all these dreams of a better life. But with those dreams come danger. They have to endure the danger of drug cartels, kidnappings, and human trafficking. It's the story of one of the some people in this community. One of them is the brother of the pastor's wife. He tried to get into this caravan to head north. And when he got to Mexico along with other 3 people and other 19 people from other areas in Guatemala, because of the crime and everything that goes on with the drug cartels and everything else, the coyotes just dropped him off in Tamaulipas, Mexico, and left him there to fend for themselves. When they didn't have the money, because they had been robbed from the money they had to pay the other people to get them across, they ended up burned in this vehicle that you saw back here. So all these people lost their lives, and not knowing how close we were from them, because one of them was part of the Church of the Nazarene. So as I visited the community and went and spoke with the pastor, he had a heart to help the community, not just sharing the gospel, but also trying to find a way to help with their needs. And so we began talking about the possibility of a loom project. When these people have these kind of loom projects, they actually make their own materials for their clothing. And I have an outfit on the table for you to look at. But talking to the pastor, we decided and identified 13 families out of this child development center that are going to be recipients of one of these looms so that they will have some kind of work. So they will go from $80 a month. These looms will be making about $300 a month, a big increase, for what they have been making. And I'm in hopes that this will start helping those families and that desire to come up north and be separated from their families will have, they don't have to do that. Thankfully, that project has been funded already, and so we are looking forward to get it started on our way back. When I get back, I'll visit and I'll start working on that. But you see, when people are in the midst and you see all the needs that are coming your way, we had these people from Cuba and Haiti that came through Nicaragua and Honduras. The church immediately went about looking for ways to help in a way that they will give them a plate of food or a safe place to sleep, as they will find them sleeping on the sidewalks. 12 churches came together from different denominations and opened their doors to shelter a lot of these people. Many of them didn't speak Spanish because they're from Haiti. And so through translators, you know, you will try to give them the help they need. And we find out that a lot of this situation is that people are misinformed. And so by the church coming together and giving them the right information as to how to get visas, how to do, you know, just regular things that will keep them safe while they are crossing, it's a big help for them. And so that's what the church has gathered, all our Honduran people, NCM coordinator over there. They have gotten together and have helped during this time of passing for these people. So during this time also, we, like Roger said, we have a lot of teams that got canceled. And so that included medical teams that usually come to help and do medical clinics. So we realize, okay, we can't wait forever because, you know, the need is there. But we also realize that we have professionals in our local churches. And we're going to come together. So that was part of our jobs, you know, to help them and equip them in those areas that they need help. And so we gather professionals, and we had, through Zoom meetings, we train them on how to do medical clinics as in the involvement of the church during this clinics. So not too long after our training, we saw that the Honduran church had already come up with a team of doctors and nurses and professionals, and they began holding their own medical clinics. So, as you know, a lot of the medical teams, they bring their own medicine, they bring their own resources. Well, in this case, they didn't have that thing, you know, those resources. So they had to get creative on how to find funds so that they will have the medicine or vitamins that the children or the people that they're going to see were going to get. And so what they did, they went ahead all the local churches, and they began asking for sponsorship for children. They were going to hold a children's clinic. And so a lot of people began sponsoring children. 50 lempiras, which it's about $5 or so, will help buy medicine and vitamins for the children. So that's how they raise their funds and they're able to hold their clinic. And so it's been a blessing to see the local church be mobilized and cover the needs of their communities. Through this last year, we had hurricanes like Roger mentioned, but we also had mudslides and other things that are typical to our area. We're one of the number one area with for disaster, and so natural disasters, that is. And so that keeps us busy. So during this year, we delivered about 2,000 crisis care kits, for which I want to say thank you to all of you that participate in those crisis care kits. It may not look like a lot, but when you have a shelter full of people for over a period of, you know, a week or two, the first 2 days, the first 3 days are okay. I mean, we have food and we have the blankets and clothing they need. But then, you know, you begin to notice that the next thing you need is all the hygiene products. And that's where crisis care kits come in so handy in the shelters. We had 37 churches that were open as shelters. The government shut down all the churches. We couldn't hold services. But when the hurricanes came, the churches were some of the first buildings that were open to shelter all the people that were affected. And immediately we began responding with food, with medicine, clothing, and other items that the local church had gathered. So thank you for your participation on that. I know that you guys have begun collecting. We have requested another container of crisis care kits and other supplies that we need over there from Hands of Hope. And so they will be working on that container so that we can receive it soon after we leave. As I mentioned, this COVID and the hard lockdowns and curfews affected a lot of people because they were people that were dependent on their informal jobs. Informal jobs meaning they would go out on the streets and sell, or they would, you know, get on the bus and go to their jobs. And so they had to, they would live on a daily basis. Well, when they couldn't do that anymore because transportation was shut down, then people began to suffer, and they all of a sudden didn't have food. We began to see in the streets lined up with people and families with their children searching for food, looking for help as they would wave their white flags. First, I wasn't sure what those white flags were meaning. When you see the people lined up on the streets, what in the world are they doing? Then realize, well, that's what they're asking. They're asking for food. They're asking for help as they were completely out of work and resources to feed their families. So when I shared this with Kim and children's pastors, then later on I got a message, and she said, you know, Bethel Kids collected an offering to help feed those people on the street. You know, and it's such a blessing, and I am so thankful to see them here this morning. I know it's one of my favorite things. When I used to be here, we used to do missions together with the little kids, and it was so fun. But, you know, to get them involved in the work that God is doing, it's a good thing. We are discipling them into the body of Christ and to serving others. And so the money that they sent, the money that you kids sent, helped us buy items to put in little bags. And we made some kits for these kids that were on the streets. We will pack up bags of food. But then when you see the kids on the streets for hours, some of them, they camp out there the entire day. Can you imagine having your kids there? We are so, you know, worried about schooling. Those kids in the go to school. They just sat there with their parents hoping that someone will come by and drop by a bag of food. So Kristen and I went and gathered supplies to make these special kits for kids. We gathered coloring books and crayons and, you know, something that they would do, you know, of course they were in Spanish, to show them that Jesus loves them and their need. Jesus loved them right there where they were. And so we would go and drive up and down, and we will find these families with kids and deliver these kids. And the smile that you see on those kids, you know, and they will just come around to our car and they will, I want one. You know, it was precious because you know that it was just how God was showing them that he had not forgotten them. So thank you, kids, for your giving. And it does, I always say, it doesn't matter how much you give. It can be $5, it can be $1,000. God is the one that takes care and multiplies it. And so thank you. We actually pass out about 75 kits. And so thank you for what you guys did. Like Roger was saying, we had a lot of flooding, and pastors' houses were flooded. Pastors don't make a huge salary. And that's, you know, like everywhere. Some of them just receive a love offering. And so a lot of their belongings got damaged during these floods. We have 36 families that were affected. Pastors' families were affected by these floodings. And so Bethel, last year when we came in December, you gave so that we would go around and you know, helping these families to help with the basic needs. We were able to buy beds, stoves, and dishes, and in some other cases we had, we bought clothing or bedding, you know, because everything they lost in the flood. So I bring message from them, and they said, please tell your church thank you for thinking of us and for helping us supply for these needs. It is in the giving and receiving of love that healing takes place. Being present creates a space for people to thrive, healed, and be transformed. While we are proclaimers of God's love, we also need to share and be present with them. Being present with people is that we realize, you know, we get to know them better, but also we realize of their needs. And God is placing us in people's midst to help them on those areas. We also in charge of child development centers. We have five, as I mentioned before. We have about 850 kids sponsored. We are on the list. We have about 1,400 that are on the list in our Mesoamerica region. So we have a few kids that are in the waiting list. But I am so excited to share with you this story about Erica. Erica was a little baby being raised by her grandma. And when she was little, she fell out of bed, she hurt her head, and started having seizures. She grew up, you know, up to her first grade of school, having these seizures, and not knowing, the grandma really not knowing how to help her. She tried to put her in school, and Erica wouldn't last because her seizures will start up again, and the teachers didn't know how to handle her, so they would send her home. Veronica, one of our coordinators, she heard of the situation with Erica. So she quickly talked to NCM and was able to find some funds to help her to find a doctor and to get her the medicine that she needed and the treatment that she needed. And eventually she was able to find a sponsor as well for Erica. So Erica now began receiving this help through NCM. And as the years progressed, they were able to get her into a special school. And her seizures were under control, and she, you know, now began to go into school. Well, one of the teachers noticed that she had a special thing for running and thought, wow, she's got talent. We're going to start working with her. Long story short, Erica is now one representing Guatemala in the Special Olympics. She have traveled in different places, and she has won gold, and now she's set to go to Tokyo whenever, the time comes. I don't even know when that is, but she is, she's heading to Tokyo. And I share her story because if someone saw the need for a sponsor child and started sponsoring, now that I am on the other side, I get to see what those $30 do. You know, you guys, I know that there is a lot of you here that sponsor children. And we, you know, you send your $30, but now that I'm serving over there, I get to see that those $30 help with medicine, help with education, help with nutrition as well. We try to have a holistic approach in our centers so that they're not just receiving the word of God, but they're also receiving help for their spiritual growth, their physical growth, and also helping their families. Now, Erica is an active part of the church. She volunteers in Sunday school. She volunteers in BBS, and she is a very a go-getter. But because of that one person, decided to change the life of someone. So I invite you to visit our table if you want. If you're not a person that has sponsored a child yet, I invite you to take one of these, go home, pray about it, and ask the Lord where He wants you to sponsor a child. And your life will be changed as you change the life of another child. And I am excited also to see, I think Promised Land kids are here. Or they didn't make it. Okay. So when we first came on this this deputation this time, they invited me to come and speak about child sponsorship and missions in their classroom. So I visited Promised Land first, and Sandy had it in her mind that they were going to sponsor a child as a group. So Promised Land Kids sponsor Harrison, and I already have here an envelope full of letters that all the kids have drawn pictures on, put their name on it, and I'll be happy to deliver it in person. I get to do that. It's exciting. So they pray for Harrison, as well as Harrison has already sent a letter to them, as I just heard. And then the following week, I share with our big kids, and they too got excited about getting together, and they sponsored Yasmin. So thank you, kids. I know that this is an excited thing for you to do. You are praying for Yasmin, and I know that if you haven't already received that letter from Yasmin, you will be receiving one soon. So thank you. These kids are bringing their money every Sunday, and I just heard someone this morning, I can't remember who it was, but I heard the story, and one of you guys received birthday money, and part of your money you gave it so that Yasmin's monthly payment will be paid. Thank you. God bless you. I get to be in those child development centers. I get to be in their houses. And this not only goes for those kids and the child development centers, it also goes with the children's pastors. Children's pastor, every PK that is 18 and younger, they get to have a sponsor. And so it's a well-rounded ministry, and we bless those families as well. So on your way out, don't forget to grab your flyer and be involved in changing the lives of someone. So as we go back, we return this week, and I ask you to continue praying for us. We are heading back on Tuesday, and 2 weeks later, we'll be traveling to Honduras, which will be our first trip out of the country since COVID, shut everything down. So we just ask you that you pray for us, for wisdom, as we continue to assess the needs in the communities and their development and resources. God is being faithful, and he has provided for all of that. Pray also for everyone that has been affected with COVID right now. We have the hospitals overflowing in Guatemala. I don't have an explanation, but we have a lot of sick people. Hospitals are overflowing, and a lot of the medical staff are walking away because they don't have medicine or they don't have the equipment that they need to help these patients. So would you please pray for that? Pray for our DSs and our pastors. We serve in 20 districts, and these pastors are having to shepherd their flock through these hard times. So it is difficult for them, but God has been faithful. God has been providing for them. So keep them in your prayers. And then as we travel to our meetings and we return home, just continue to pray for God's protection and health for us and God's wisdom. Thank you for being our supporters in prayer, for your love, and for just being you. We love you, and we're very thankful for you. God bless.
Thank you, Roger and Dom Reese, for sharing with us today. It's been great to have you here. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. We're going to receive an offering right now for Roger and Dom Reese's ministry in Guatemala. They'll be coming through the aisles in front of you. You can write out a check and just put Kellogg's on the tagline at the bottom, or you can just put some cash in, whatever you want to do. While you're writing checks, because I see some people writing checks, I'm just going to put an extra little emphasis on the child sponsorship. My wife and I have sponsored a child for, I don't know, maybe 10 years. I don't know how long. It's really been a blessing to do that. You get communication from them, and you know you're helping someone. $30 a month, I think pretty much all of us could afford to do that. The information's out there. You'd be blessed if you do that, and you can help a child in another part of the world. So ushers are here. We're going to pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to hear about what you're doing in Guatemala, in Central America. And we thank you for it and pray that this money that we give will bless their ministry and provide what they need to continue on that ministry. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.